Our new series title is Real. Real. Amen. There's some real things in life, and there's not so real things in life. And there's a lot of ideas that some of us hold that we think equal real, but it's really not real. And so our subject title today is love. What's real and what's not real as it relates to our ideas of love. When we consider the world that we're in and that surround us and relationships that are being demonstrated right in front of us, it's probable that you'll become confused to what real versus not real truly is. And so I ask the question today, what is a healthy relationship? What is real love? What does it actually look like? And so that question is very paramount in our world today because people are frustrated and confused over their idea of what love is. And Paul addresses the how as it relates to developing a real relationship. Notice how he puts it here in Romans 12. I'm reading from the Message, so it's a little bit different from the King James. But it gets the point across here today. In verse 1, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Now, God helps us with this spirit empowerment, right? Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, that includes our dating scene, our parenting scene, our home life, our friendships, the way we talk. There's a pretty big list here. Take your daily life and relationships. Notice what he says. Place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. If you could underline that in your thinking today, maybe in your Bible. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Anybody want to do something for God? Embrace what he can do for you. That turns him on. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. You know, it's often we get pulled into anger, jealousy, offense, gossip, lust, and that list goes on without even thinking if that's God's way or not. Anybody ever done that? And justified some of our what we do based on the fact that, well, you know, I believe that God's okay with this. Let's go on and read here. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. I'm just going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the world is not going to assist you in developing healthy relationships. They don't know how to. Readily recognize what God wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. God knows how to build you up. He knows how to finish what he starts. Amen? And so, how do we hit the reset button when it comes to relationships? Relationships like marriage. Somebody hits the reset button. Oh, they're thinking, I'm quitting. I divorce. I'm out of here. That's not the reset button we're talking about. How do we hit the reset button from God's lens as it relates to being a parent? We've missed the mark. We wasn't good parents. How do we do it? Difficult people. How do we hit the reset button on how we deal with challenges with others? God wants to teach us each how to start over and do relationships his way. Let me say it this way. The real way. Amen? And so we're talking about real love today. Real love is when a spouse can come out of his or her war room, amen, and love their partner, their spouse, through the storm, through the unfaithfulness, through the things that are just really ridiculous. They've been saturated with an experience in the love of God, amen, and they can't help but give the love of God regardless of what the status or the climate is. You see, God wants to give you a new understanding on what real love is today. Amen. What it's all about. And so many here today need to hit the reset button if you're going to move forward in your relationships. The best place to start is the origin of love, God Himself. Amen? And God has a 3:16 principle that goes this way. In John 3:16, I'm reading from the NIV. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. God is love. The origin of love is God. Can we all agree on that? No human came up with this. No human ever was smart enough to think up the reality of love. Since God came up with love, we must look at Him for the experience and the definition if we're going to begin to navigate, amen, down the ebbing and the flow of God's current as it relates to His Spirit. How do we experience God's love in the world, a world that's confused about connecting and confused about building relationships? How do we do that? You see, the world interchanges words like lust with love. Yeah, they'll take the word love and they'll interchange it with the identity of self, me. Amen? Or convenience or compromise. That's what equals love, and having it my way. So often people in relationships with a definition of love, amen, and the other person they're in the relationship with has a different definition of love and a different background of what they perceive love to be. And they're wondering why, because nobody gets up in the morning with ill intent. Man, I can't wait to get up in the morning. I want to make my wife mad at me. There ain't no husband ever got up thinking of ways to make their wives mad at them, or the wives getting up, bless God, I'm going to make his life miserable today. No, there's no ill intent. It just turns out that stuff happens because of wrong perceptions, wrong definitions and ideas. And we need an open flow from heaven so that we are able to give what we don't naturally have. So how does love work in a world that is heartbroken in its search for love? We look to God. He's the author. Amen. He's the finisher, right? God so loved that He did something. God so loved, therefore He did something. The verb in the Bible that we know of is not love. The natural verb in the Bible is, from God's lens, give. God loved, amen, and He loves us in such a way that it causes Him to give everything. Amen. And so God didn't keep His love to Himself. What did God do? He expressed it. He just didn't have love. He gives love. Amen. And so today God gives love through each of us when we choose to experience His love. If you find it hard to love others, and all of us have at times, it's because we haven't experienced or maintained our experience of God's love. Amen? Expressing God's love requires that we experience His love. Head knowledge that says God is love don't mean you have what you need to give. But there's an experience that once you experience it, you can't explain it. And you actually have fellowship with that experience. You can't help but love everyone around you. Amen? This is what God's love looks like. Let's talk about what God's love looks like today. Number one, God's love is unconditional. Part of hitting the reset button and moving forward into healthy relationships requires that we repent to the truth that God's love is unconditional. So unconditional love actually means this to you and I when we, let's just think about this for a moment. It's absolute, it's steadfast, it's unfailing. It's unmovable. It's unconditional. He's all in. I don't like some of the things going on, but I'm all in. You see what I'm saying? The moment I choose to experience God's unfailing love, the pains and the wounds of yesterday are instantly healed. Amen. Everyone who has experienced the real love of God immediately testifies to and the demonstration of the presence of God when they experience it. Now, my brother Wendell, if anybody knows here, several of you know my brother Wendell. In 1974, the Lord baptized me with his love. Amen. He filled me with his spirit. And my brother Wendell knows me. Do most everybody know your brothers and sisters, your siblings? Like nobody else knows them? I mean, he knew me. And what God did in my life when he filled me with his spirit affected my brother Wendell to the point he said, I don't know what happened to my brother, but I got to have that. As a teenager, it changed him. And he made up his mind, my brother's got something, and I got to have it. I'll never forget him saying that. The second thing that God's love looks like is God's love is sacrificial. God's love cost him everything without a demand for the same in return. He gave it all without any expectation you was going to give him anything. That's how he loved you and me. He committed love to us through sacrifice. Even while we were sinfully rejecting and denying him and resisting him, he died for us. Pretty powerful. So real love requires sacrifice. Otherwise, it has never been expressed. For you to say you love me, or for me to say I love you, and there's no expression there that verifies that I love you, then I really don't love you. Is anybody getting this today? The second thing that God's love looks like is his love is personable. God's love isn't some aura. It's not some scent. It's not just an idea. God demonstrated his love to you and me personally. Now, some of us are resisting it still, but he demonstrated it, and it's talked about all over the world to this day. And we still find a way to resist it at times. Paul writes how personable God got towards us in 1 Timothy 3:16. He's writing to one of his sons in the Lord. He says, beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. True godliness is, I mean, he's a real personable God. He personally loves people. This is how powerful it is. He appeared in the flesh. God manifested in flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world. After he demonstrates personal love, then he's taken up into glory. After he sacrificed like he did, personally for you and I, he goes all the way through and gives everything. And after he gives it all, then he's received up into glory. Now, we know God loves through the Holy Spirit baptism, right? Says why? This is why John the Baptist preached this way. He says, Jesus, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. We don't deserve it. We're not worthy of it, but he loves us. I'm not even worthy to unloosen his sandals. Amen. The same one is going to baptize you with spirit and with fire. What's he saying there? He's going to baptize you with love. Amen. And the love of God is going to get so into you, you can't help but love what he's in love with, and that's his treasure, people. Amen. The reason we're baptized into God's spirit, which God is a spirit, but God is love, is because God loves you and me, and he chose us, and in choosing us, he's asking us to receive that love so that we can go give it to someone else. Which takes me to point four on what God's love looks like. God's love is receivable. It's receivable. I don't know about you, but when somebody's verifying the love of God, it's easy to receive that love that they're pouring out. When somebody's walking in the Spirit, they're walking in love. When they walk in love, that's attractive. Right? Is this pretty simple? And so we can actually receive God's love. It can be yours if you'll just choose to receive it. Maybe you're saying right now, I can't love. I proved I don't have the capacity to love. I've been in too many failed relationships. God wants you to know that He is here for you, and He's here to help you hit the reset button. You don't have to stay bogged down. Today can be a brand new day, and it can be the best day of the rest of your life just by receiving a baptism of His Spirit and power. And I'm going to just tell you, there's nothing more powerful than love. It conquers all. With God's love, all things are possible. With Jesus, you can do what you can never do without Him. And isn't it interesting today that everyone wants God's love? Everybody wants to experience that. They just believe that they're either not worthy. Come on. And some of you are here today. Or either God just don't have enough time for you. And the enemy will make you believe all kinds of ideas and lies that keep you, amen, out of the current of God's Spirit. God wants to love you more than you want to be loved. Which leads me to the next point of what God's love looks like. Amen. God's love is accessible. It's accessible. This real love isn't reserved for a limited few. For the ideal perfect person or perfect people, a certain age group, it's not reserved just for them. I mean, I know teenagers going, how God love me? Wait till I get 30, He might love me then. It's not reserved for skin color or certain family or background or person that, amen, walks in a certain position of power or even a person that seems to be very spiritual. This real love happens to all that choose to believe and know this. I'm going to add strength to this. They choose to believe and receive. If you're a believer today of Jesus Christ, the important factor in you being a believer is that you have yielded to receiving from Him this power, this relationship, this experience of love. And if you're still frustrated and full of anxiety around certain people, that's a signal that you haven't experienced God's love. Because God is in love with that person that makes you the maddest. That one that you've let the enemy convince they need to be killed and I can do it for them. Come on. That person that you've come to a conclusion, God can't help them, they're just reprobates, they lost, they ain't nothing but God can do for them anyway. God don't share that opinion. If you're breathing right now, His mercies are new every morning. Oh, for the religious group, let me just pause for a moment and let you understand this. I know I've heard it. I've heard it till I'm sick of it. Well, you don't know. They may have blasphemed God and they're lost forever. Did you know the only sin God cannot forgive is a word that's not really in the dictionary called unforgiveness? That's the only thing God cannot forgive is unforgiveness. When you have been, everybody in the world's been forgiven, they just hadn't received it. Yeah, He forgave you before you ever met. Before you were born, you were forgiven. For the stuff you were going to do today and tomorrow. Hello? But for you not to forgive your brother or your sister is to blaspheme against what God did on your behalf. He forgave you. And why aren't you forgiving them? And so until you forgive them, you can't be forgiven. Is this okay? So this religious spirit that wants you to say, well, they're just reprobates or they blaspheme God, they're lost for, I have a right to be mad at them. No, you don't. As long as they're breathing, God's into them, and he's got you there because he's into you, and he's wanting you to receive his love so that you can go spill it out on them. Is anybody getting a picture of true love today? Amen. Hallelujah. The big idea is this: choosing to believe and receive by experiencing empowerment, it empowers us to follow him. Choosing to believe and receive empowers us to follow him. Where are we following him to? To others, so that they can experience real love too. So if you say, I'm a follower of Jesus, what you just told me and what you just told God was you're after people. I'm fine trying to find somebody to love on right now. Hello? To be a follower of Jesus and you're mad at somebody and angry and frustrated and ticked off or whatever the bad fruit is, that's not following Jesus. Jesus is in the people. And he first loved us so that we can do what? We could go love someone else. And how do men and women know that we're his disciples? For our love one for the other. So the password to real love is Jesus Christ. Oh, he's the username too. He's everything. If you need complete access to real love, Jesus is the one. Amen. He's the answer. Haven't you experienced times when you felt like it was impossible to love? Your love tank was just kind of on that proverbial empty level. You were frustrated, angry, dealing with all kind of stuff. And you're feeling like, how do I give something that I really don't know anything about? How do I do this? I can't, Lord. You got to help me. And he's glad you asked. Because when we ask him, he's immediately ready. Ask, seek, and knock. And so in John chapter 4, 1 John 4, verse 11, notice how John writes here about this experience of real love. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to have love one for another. To love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Oh, now we can see God. How? Because there we are. We're loving one another. Verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love of God, or the love God has for us. We rely on that love. That's the source of us getting through the day. Our marriage becoming healthy. We rely on the love of God for our relationships to develop. That's what that's saying right there. We love because he first loved us. Verse 19. And so the only way we can have the capacity to love others, others that are difficult, others that are hard, awkward, who hurt, people that betray us because, amen, it's because he first demonstrated his love for us. You can't give what you have not yet received. And so we need to receive this. There's an old saying that says it this way. Amen. What's in the well comes up with the bucket. What's ever in that well, that bucket's going to bring it up. And so this is why receiving God's love is so necessary. His love is his promise. His promise is his Holy Spirit baptism. Wow. The moment when we do, we begin to affect everybody around us. So, real love becomes natural when we choose to lean into God. Amen. We choose to have fellowship with him first. When I choose to, amen, embrace him first and let him embrace me, amen, then I can't help but embrace others. And so the first key, amen, that we want to know about the love of God is the secret of love is being loved by God first. That's the first key. The secret of the love of God is being loved by God first. And this question is being asked all over the world. What is the secret to love? Be loved by God first. And you get to go tell somebody that's asking that question today. If you're being loved, and loving is because of Jesus Christ. And so could it be that our first step of love is not towards others, but towards God? Could it be? There's some difficult people in our world. As a matter of fact, there's several difficult people in our world. Matter of fact, there's some crazy family members in your life Hello. I've got some difficult family members. I've got some interesting family members that I have to navigate during reunions and events. Say anything at any time, and they don't care what anybody thinks. Anybody got them kind of relationship? Hey, man, you know, I heard that you lost your job. No sympathy whatsoever. Man, I can't believe how ugly your kids are. Really? People are impossible to love without an experience of real love, right? Some people just angry at everything. Could it be that the first step isn't towards them, but the first step is towards God, towards Jesus? Then from Him, He gives us the power and authority, amen, before we get to the reunion to hit the reset button. Because we know that we know that we know there's going to be challenges if we're not spiritually prepared and have experienced God before we get there, right? We want to be a blessing. That's our family. Again, our frustrations and our anxieties and our relationships, they're signals. Signals of what? That we may be stepping in the wrong direction first. That anxiety is present because you didn't get what you needed before you got there. Amen? We love because He first loved us. I can't love without Him first loving me. So why would I want to start a day out without the love of God being my source so that I can move through the day? So real love is the lens that we see through, and we see others from God's perspective. And we can see them correctly at this point. Amen? Through Jesus, we discover real love. And when we discover real love, ladies and gentlemen, guess what happens after discovery? We deploy it. Amen? It's just what we do. It's who we are. It's our calling. It's where we walk. It's how we fellowship with Daddy. This passage of Scripture should be our go-to passage when we look at ourselves in the mirror. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, it says it this way: love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. Anybody read this chapter before? This is what love does not do. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Underline this one. It keeps no records of wrongs. But you don't understand, Pastor. That list protects me. Ladies and gentlemen, I got my own list of people that have done me wrong. But you know how I deal with it? I don't step towards them first. I step towards God. And the temptation, ladies and gentlemen, to step towards them is just as real as anybody else. I got country boy in me. And I needed to be delivered of that. Because the first thing that we think of is, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. I might give them something more if it don't work out. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always preserves. Love never fails. My personal love will deplete. My personal love will come up short and get frustrated, and I'll get frustrated. Frustration comes out of me if I'm not walking in the Spirit. Amen? And so this is what Jesus meant when He said, out of your belly, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. He's talking about the love of God is going to touch everybody around you. Second key is the secret of love is showing it to others. Amen. First one is being loved by God. Second one is now you get to show it to others. So here's some how-tos in demonstrating this thing called real love. Anybody want to know some how-tos? Now, I'm going to just tell you, many of us, if we're not careful, we excuse ourselves from experience in demonstrating God by saying things like, I was never taught that, Pastor. Oh, that's not my personality. Or, I don't feel like it. Right now, I don't love nobody. Anybody talking about, you know what I'm talking about? it's important that we realize if we don't, God is going to use somebody else then. As long as you're over there in the corner sucking your thumb, he'll go use somebody else to be blessed. You mean I need to go love that hard-headed person? Well, the question is not about do you want that you need to, is that when you learn you get to, you'll get blessed. And all of us want to be blessed. And all of us want to be happy. And all of us want to live our life full. Sometimes you just got to agree with the Spirit and lay, amen, take up your cross and bear it. Die daily to yourself. Experience the love of God. Here's some love handles that will move you forward into your God-given identity. Number one, amen, as it relates to love, say it. I love you. I really love you. Say that as much as you can. I believe it's the three most important words in relationships. I love you. The second most important phrase is forgive me. The phrase I love you gives the most positive effects when it's around. But it's amazing how destructive effects can come into the conversation when I love you is not present. There's been more times me and my wife want to talk about that if we had the term I love you before we said what we was about to say, because we're trying to communicate. But when she and I are trying to communicate, if we know we love one, we have wonderful community, we'll get right on there. But if we don't know that there's love coming out of this conversation, the enemy has a place to come in and bring the static up and cause a wall to build. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I know you do. Amen. So say it. Wife is crying to the marriage counselor, telling the marriage counselor, he never says he loves me. The marriage counselor turns to him and says, is this true? Yeah. I said it before we got married. I mean it today still. That's not the way it works, ladies and gentlemen. You got to say it. But not only say it, number two, write it. It's amazing the impact that these words have when you put them in written form in a letter, in a card. I love you. That's the first words. That's really when people open the cards, they're looking. Did they say, I love you? That's the number one phrase in the whole card. It's the number one phrase in the letter, right? Is I love you. Write it. Reread a letter that's been written by someone that you love that's deceased. And when you reread that letter and you find those words in there, I love you, the impact of those words from someone that's not alive today, but you love them and you're rehearsing how they said they love you. It's just, text somebody today. Let them know you love them. It's powerful. Texting I love you is a love handle. Utilize it. We're not fighting in this world to win, ladies and gentlemen. We're fighting to connect. And the connection starts with God first. And when it starts with Him, naturally you connect with what He's in love with. But not only do we say it, not only do we write it, but we give it. Some of the most meaningful gifts that I have in my life are not expensive gifts. Gifts say things like, when I'm busy, and while I'm really busy, and I've done it more than I want to, I've missed it, but there's times when I was really busy, and I thought about her. And I just wanted to stop everything I was doing busy and go to where she was at. That's powerful when you do that. Amen. I don't know where to find it in San Antonio, but if I could find it today, I would go get it. It's pathetic to me, but she loves this thing, this candy called lemon peel. It looks like cow dung with mold on it. But because I love her, I want her to have what looks pathetic to me because I love her. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I love her, and I've been helping her do her hair for 30 years. And I will do her hair in front of you. I don't care what you think, because I love her. I know it's not becoming for a country boy, But I don't care about the country boy because I love her. Give it. Give it. Write it. Say it. And number four, forgive it. We're never more like Jesus than when we forgive. Amen. But Pastor, that's so hard. Yeah, it's hard. People are hard. I'm not the kind of person that forgives easy. I understand. I just told you, I'll do country boy on you without Jesus. But with Jesus, I'll forgive you and I'll love you and I'll edify you. I'll build you up. I'll serve you. But without him, I can do nothing but be a fallen natured man. But when you're in love, when you experience love, you can say it. You can write it. You can give it. You can forgive it. And so when we're dealing with difficult people, always challenge yourself. Maybe the first step isn't towards that person. Maybe the first step is to God. So God can give you what you need. And then finally, live it. Live it. God helps us to love people in front of us. Amen. And that needs to be our prayer. God, help me to love people in front of me, in the workplace, in the store. God, help me to love the lost. That should be coming out of our spirit. Lord, I don't know how to do this, but you can help me. You can give me an experience that I can give to them. That's why small groups are so important. Small groups give us an opportunity to reset, to relearn how to demonstrate the love of God. It gives us the platform by which we can embrace others as we have been embraced. And I can't say this loud enough for everybody. Everybody needs to be a part of a small group. Don't let your culture get you to thinking that life is the way you're living it and you're not connected. You're not in small groups. Jesus makes it clear to us his measurables. And it was clear when we read about when the expression of the baptism of the Spirit was poured out upon them, after they were filled with the Spirit, what did they do? They went from house to house, breaking bread, continuing in the apostles' doctrine, amen, in fellowship. Why? Because it's how we live out the love of God. If you're today satisfied with only showing up on a Sunday morning where you can hear some good principles and precepts and a message of hope in the gospel, and you're satisfied with it from Monday on back to Sunday, you're back here only then, and you're not a part of a small group where you can express the love of God in your life, maybe you haven't experienced it yet. Small groups happen on the job, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just helping you here. Small groups happen in the things we do in life. It's how we connect to what God's in love with. Amen. Romans 12:15. This is so important that you get this. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Sharing others' joy. How do you do that? Being connected. Small groups. And weep with those who weep. Sharing others' griefs. When do you do that? When you're together. Amen. When you're when you position yourself to lean into others after you have leaned into God. Amen. It takes the focus off of you and puts it where God deemed it to be. Amen. We focus on God, and God focuses on us as we focus on others. So it's not about my feelings. It's all about my obedience to love other people. And I just can't love anybody, ladies and gentlemen, unless I experience his love. So let God love you so that you can love others. Why? It's later than you think with people. People are fragile. And some of you are sitting here today and you're fragile. We got to do something about it. And God set us up for victory. And he put together a common denominator point of reference. And that's to meet with him. And let him give us an experience. William Shakespeare said it this way, better 3 hours too soon than a minute too late. For those of you that are into Dr. Seuss, he said it this way, sometimes you'll never know the value of a moment until it becomes a memory. Don't allow your words and expressions of love to become a memory. Amen. Let's say it. Let's write it. Let's give it. Let's forgive it. And let's live it. Let everybody you can know that you love them, but not before you let him love you.